Overview. Your heart, brain, and gut are talking to each other right now. They never stop. These three organs form an interconnected communication network that shapes everything from blood pressure to mood to gut motility. When you treat one and ignore the others, you are hearing only part of the conversation. The central thesis of this post is simple. The heart-brain axis and the gut-brain axis are not separate systems. They share the same nerve, immune mediators, and stress hormones. Their shared purpose is allostasis, meaning stability through change. When allostasis works well, your patients think clearly, regulate emotions, pump efficiently, and digest without complaint. When it fails under chronic stress, the resulting wear and tear, known as allostatic load, affects all three systems at once. That is why depression, heart disease, and IBS so often travel together. This post covers the brain's autonomic command center, the central autonomic network, CAN, and how it coordinates the heart-brain and gut-brain axis. You will learn how gut bacteria manufacture serotonin, produce cardiovascular toxins, and signal the brain through the vagus nerve. You will see why depression doubles cardiovascular risk and vice versa. And you will find practical tools, from breathing protocols to GLP-1 agonists to dietary fiber, that target the whole system at once. The overarching message is practical. Treat the network, not just the organ. Allostasis, stability through change. This section introduces allostasis and allostatic load as the governing framework behind these axes. Your body does not hold fixed set points like a thermostat. It predicts what it will need and adjusts in advance. Sterling and Iyer, 1988, called this allostasis. The brain runs the show through a specific set of structures known as the central autonomic network, CAN. The CAN reads incoming data from the vagus nerve, the HPA axis, circulating cytokines, and metabolic hormones. Then it adjusts sympathetic and parasympathetic output before demand arrives. Short term, this is brilliant. Cortisol mobilizes energy. Sympathetic drive increases cardiac output. Inflammatory mediators neutralize pathogens. But what happens when these systems never shut off? McEwen and Steller, 1993, called the cumulative damage allostatic load. Its consequences are familiar. Visceral fat, insulin resistance, chronic inflammation, hippocampal shrinkage, low HRV, and leaky gut. The critical insight is that allostatic load does not remain confined to a single organ system. The heart-brain axis and gut-brain axis share the same mediators. When vagal tone drops, you see reduced HRV, elevated fasting glucose, higher cortisol, and elevated inflammatory markers simultaneously. That is three axes failing at once. This framework reframes comorbidity. Depression, cardiovascular disease, and GI disorders are not coincidental. They are allostatic overload distributed across interconnected axes. The clinical shift is from treating symptoms to restoring regulatory capacity. The central autonomic network, your brain's command center. This section introduces the CAN, the neurovisceral integration model, and the vagal and immune pathways that connect the heart and brain. The heart and brain communicate through neural, hormonal, and immune channels collectively known as the heart-brain axis. At the top of this system sits the CAN. Benaroc, 1993, coined the term to describe the interconnected brain regions that control visceral function, pain, neuroendocrine output, and survival behavior. The CAN's roster includes cortical players such as the insular cortex and anterior cingulate cortex, subcortical players such as the amygdala and hypothalamus, and brainstem nuclei, including the nucleus of the tractus solitarius, NTS, and the ventrolateral medulla. These regions are wired reciprocally. Information flows in every direction, not just top-down. The NTS receives sensory data from the heart and gut via the vagus nerve, processes it alongside cortical input, and generates coordinated autonomic output. Why does this matter at the bedside? Because the CAN explains how panic attacks cause arrhythmias and how strokes cause heart attacks. The insular cortex builds a real-time map of your body's internal state. The anterior cingulate generates predictive autonomic commands. The amygdala tags incoming signals with emotional valence and triggers survival responses. Damage the insula with a stroke, and you lose cortical regulation of cardiac rhythm. The result is often severe arrhythmia, the hallmark of stroke heart syndrome. Thayer and Lane, 2000, took the KIN concept further with their neurovisceral integration model. The key idea is that the prefrontal cortex tonically inhibits subcortical threat circuits, especially the amygdala. This inhibition travels to the heart via the vagus nerve. Strong prefrontal inhibition produces flexible autonomic regulation and high HRV. Weak inhibition, as seen in chronic stress, anxiety, and depression, produces sympathetic dominance and low HRV. Meta-analytic neuroimaging studies have confirmed that HRV correlates with activity in the amygdala and ventromedial prefrontal cortex. So HRV tells you about the brain, not just the heart. The vagus nerve itself deserves a moment. It is the longest cranial nerve and the KIN's primary output cable. About 80% of its fibers are afferent, from the body to the brain rather than from the brain to the body. Those fibers carry cardiac and gut data to the NTS, the KIN's main relay station. This makes the KIN a continuously updated integrative hub for both heart-brain and gut-brain signals. Beyond the vagus, immune cells and cytokines also mediate heart-brain crosstalk. After a myocardial infarction, splenic monocytes can cross the blood-brain barrier and activate microglia, triggering neuroinflammation and cognitive decline. Heart disease does not just coexist with brain dysfunction. It causes it. In short, the KIN is the brain's autonomic command center. The vagus nerve is its main cable. HRV is your peripheral window into how well the KIN is functioning. And the same KIN pathways that regulate the heart also regulate the gut. The gut-brain axis. Same nerve, different cargo. This section covers how gut microbiota communicate with the brain and why this axis matters for mood, cognition, and motivation. Your gut contains roughly 100 trillion microorganisms whose collective genome is about 150 times larger than yours. These are not passive digestive assistants. They produce neurotransmitters, regulate immunity, and send signals directly to the brain through the same vagus nerve that carries cardiac data. Three signaling tracks connect the gut to the brain. The neural tract runs through the vagus nerve and the enteric nervous system, roughly 500 million neurons embedded in the gut wall. Vagal afferents sense microbial metabolites and relay them to the NTS, the same KIN relay that processes heartbeat data. The immune tract runs through gut-associated lymphoid tissue, the body's largest immune organ. When the gut barrier breaks down, bacterial toxins translocate into the bloodstream and drive systemic and neuroinflammation. The metabolic tract centers on short-chain fatty acids like butyrate, which cross the blood-brain barrier and modulate neurotransmitter release. Here is a number worth remembering. About 90% of the body's serotonin is made in the gut, not the brain. Gut-derived serotonin does not cross the blood-brain barrier directly, but it influences the brain through vagal signaling and by regulating tryptophan availability, the precursor to central serotonin. When dysbiosis diverts tryptophan toward the kynurenine pathway rather than serotonin synthesis, central serotonin levels drop and neurotoxic quinolinic acid levels rise. This pattern is consistently seen in major depression. That is why GI symptoms and depression travel together so often. The bottom line: the gut-brain axis shares the vagus nerve, the immune system, and the KIN relay stations with the heart-brain axis. It is the same highway carrying different cargo. Where the axes converge, the heart-brain-gut triangle. This section explains how gut metabolites hit the brain and heart simultaneously, and why gut health is cardiovascular health. The two axes do not just run in parallel. They converge to form a gut-brain-heart triangle. The best documented intersection involves trimethylamine N-oxide, TMAO. Gut bacteria metabolize choline and L-carnitine from red meat, eggs, and liver into trimethylamine. The liver oxidizes it to TMAO. TMAO then circulates systemically, promoting endothelial dysfunction, platelet reactivity, plaque instability, and vascular inflammation. Elevated TMAO is an independent risk marker for heart attack and stroke. Meanwhile, butyrate and other short-chain fatty acids from beneficial bacteria protect the cardiovascular system and the brain. Butyrate maintains gut barrier integrity, dampens inflammation, and modulates central neurotransmitter release. Heart failure patients consistently exhibit depleted butyrate-producing bacteria, increased gut permeability, and elevated circulating endotoxin levels. The gut is simultaneously amplifying harmful signals via TMAO and losing its protective capacity due to depletion of short-chain fatty acids. A 2026 zebrafish study provided direct experimental proof. Depleting the gut microbiome altered hypothalamic neuronal firing and impaired cardiac diastolic function. Supplementing microbial metabolites partially rescued both the brain and the heart. The gut microbiome is not just associated with these outcomes. It is wired into the autonomic circuits that control them. Diet shapes the microbiome. The microbiome shapes the metabolite balance. The metabolites shape the brain and the heart. That is the triangle. Interoception, how the brain listens to the body. This section covers interoception, heartbeat-evoked potentials, and why gut signals shape emotion and decision-making. Interoception is the brain's ability to sense internal bodily states, such as heartbeats, breathing, hunger, and gut tension. It happens inside the CAN. Each heartbeat triggers baroreceptors in the aortic arch and carotid sinuses. Those signals travel via the vagus nerve to the NTS, then up to the thalamus and insular cortex. The brain responds with a measurable electrical signal called the heartbeat-evoked potential, HEP. Gut signals travel the same route. The brain builds its internal body map from cardiac and gastrointestinal data simultaneously. People with stronger interoceptive awareness regulate emotions better and handle stress more adaptively. Impaired interoception is linked to anxiety, depression, borderline personality disorder, and alexithymia. Recent data show that HEP amplitude increases when people consciously notice changes in their internal state during emotional experiences. The brain is not passively receiving heartbeat signals. It is actively tuning its sensitivity based on context. From an allostatic perspective, interoception is the sensory mechanism that monitors whether the body's regulatory predictions are working. The clinical implication is that heartbeat detection training and mindfulness-based body awareness practices can strengthen the neural circuits linking visceral signals to cortical processing. Better interoception supports better emotional regulation and lower allostatic load. Depression and cardiovascular disease, when allostasis breaks down. This section covers the bidirectional depression-CVD relationship as a manifestation of allostatic overload across all three axes. Depression roughly doubles the odds of developing cardiovascular disease. The mechanisms are not mysterious. Depression drives sustained sympathetic overdrive, reduces HRV, elevates inflammatory markers, disrupts endothelial function, and degrades the gut microbiome. It also reduces medication adherence, physical activity, and dietary quality. All three axes take the hit simultaneously. The reverse pathway is just as real. Heart failure reduces cerebral perfusion, damages the blood-brain barrier, and cuts mesenteric blood flow to the gut. Stroke patients frequently develop troponin elevation, arrhythmias, and wall motion abnormalities, a pattern called stroke heart syndrome. Kin dysfunction is the driver. Strokes that damage the insular cortex strip away the brain's cortical regulation of cardiac rhythm, producing catecholamine surges that directly injure the myocardium. This is allostatic overload in action. The systems meant to maintain stability are locked in a self-reinforcing cycle of damage across the heart, brain, and gut. The clinical mandate is integrated screening. The AHA recommends depression screening for cardiac patients. Adding dietary history, GI symptoms, and inflammatory markers gives you a fuller picture of allostatic load across all three axes. Pharmacological tools that target the network. This section covers GLP-1 agonists, vagus nerve stimulation, psychobiotics, beta blockers, and SSRIs as multi-axis interventions. GLP-1 receptor agonists are the standout story. Originally built for diabetes, these drugs have receptors in the pancreas, brain, vasculature, and gut. A meta-analysis of 11 cardiovascular outcome trials with over 82,000 participants found a 15 to 16% reduction in stroke risk compared with placebo. Preclinical work shows they also reduce neuroinflammation, stabilize the blood-brain barrier, and promote neurogenesis. The 2024 AHA/ASA guidelines now recommend them for stroke prevention in patients with diabetes and high cardiovascular risk. These agents hit all three axes at once. Vagus nerve stimulation is a direct play on the CANS main cable. The FDA approved it for treatment-resistant depression in 2005 and stroke rehab in 2021. A 12-month, sham-controlled trial of 493 patients showed meaningful improvements in depression response and remission rates. Because the vagus innervates both heart and gut, stimulating it inherently affects both axes. Psychobiotics are probiotic strains with evidence for effects on brain function. Specific lactobacillus and bifidobacterium strains have been shown to reduce anxiety and depression in RCTs, likely through vagal modulation and enhanced tryptophan availability. Beta blockers suppress sympathetic hyperarousal across cardiac and gut function. SSRIs modulate vagal tone and serotonin-mediated gut-brain signaling. The future of pharmacology is multi-axis, not single organ. Breathing, music, diet, and the parasympathetic shift. This section covers low-cost interventions that shift autonomic balance across all three axes. Slow breathing at about 6 breaths per minute, or at one's resonance frequency, is one of the simplest ways to activate the parasympathetic system. This rate matches the baroreceptor reflex's 5-second delay. Baroreflex sensitivity increases. HRV improves. Cortisol drops. Because the vagus nerve innervates both heart and gut, enhanced vagal tone simultaneously improves cardiac regulation and gut motility. Brahmari Pranayama, a yogic humming technique, extends the exhalation phase and further amplifies vagal activation. Music therapy works through similar autonomic channels. Selected auditory stimuli can reduce heart and respiratory rates by synchronizing bodily rhythms with an external tempo. These effects occur even in ICU patients with reduced consciousness, meaning the cardiovascular benefits do not require cognitive engagement. Dietary fiber feeds butyrate-producing bacteria, such as Faecalibacterium prausnitzii and Bifidobacterium, thereby strengthening gut barrier integrity and reducing systemic inflammation. Red meat and processed foods elevate TMAO levels, promoting endothelial damage. The Mediterranean diet has demonstrated benefits across all three axes, improved microbial diversity, and reduced cardiovascular events. Interoceptive awareness training strengthens insular cortex connectivity and improves emotional regulation. These are low-cost, evidence-based tools. Combine slow breathing, dietary fiber, and body awareness training for a multi-axis parasympathetic intervention that your patients can start today. Wearable technology and hemodynamic monitoring. This section covers how wearable biosensors and arterial elastants are bringing axis monitoring out of the lab. Consumer wearables now track HRV, pulse transit time, and electrodermal activity in real time. Through the lens of neurovisceral integration, HRV is not just a cardiac metric. It is a peripheral index of kin function, reflecting the integrity of the prefrontal subcortical circuit. Because the kin regulates cardiac function, gut motility, and inflammatory responses simultaneously, HRV serves as a proxy for allostatic capacity across all three axes. Pulse transit time, the interval between the cardiac electrical event and the peripheral pulse wave, offers cuffless continuous blood pressure monitoring. Arterial elastants, the ratio of end-systolic pressure to stroke volume, captures both resistive and pulsatile vascular loads, making it a better predictor than blood pressure alone. Currently used mainly in acute care, it could eventually enable early detection of ventricular arterial uncoupling, a precursor to heart failure. The measurement tools are catching up to the science. Continuous ambulatory HRV monitoring is bringing research-grade kin assessment to everyday clinical practice. 5 takeaways for practice. 1. The heart, brain, and gut form an integrated network coordinated by the SAN. Dysfunction in one axis can propagate to the others via the vagus nerve, the immune system, and the HPA axis. 2. Depression doubles cardiovascular risk. Cardiovascular disease promotes depression, and gut dysbiosis amplifies both through TMAO, SCFA depletion, and tryptophan diversion. Screen across all three systems. 3. GLP-1 receptor agonists reduce stroke risk by about 15% and offer neurovascular protection across the gut-brain-heart triangle, making them the first drug class to target all three axes. 4. Slow breathing at 6 breaths per minute, dietary fiber for butyrate-producing bacteria, and interoceptive training each produce measurable parasympathetic activation. Combine them for a low-cost, multi-axis intervention. 5. HRV, now accessible via consumer wearables, is a peripheral index of confunction and allostatic capacity across all three axes. Use it.